Now tonight, I want to turn our attention to Nehemiah chapter number 2, if I could. And I want us to see tonight, there is going to be a prayer from Nehemiah for the authority of God. Nehemiah wants God's authority. The scripture talks about God has given all authority to Washington. God forbid. He says, I have given all authority to my son. And the son gives it to whomsoever he will. God's son will whether you or I get any authority. And I believe closely akin to having that authority is those who make prayer a priority in their life. Watch the text, chapter 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine. You remember, he's a cupbearer. Gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my fathers, the sepulchres, lieth waste, the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what doest thou make request? Look at the last sentence. He's talking to the king now. The Bible says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. He's talking to the king just like I'm talking to you now. While he's talking to him, he lifts up his heart unto the God of heaven. Well, what is he praying for? I'm extremely interested in verse number 8. The Bible says, and a letter unto Asaph. The king has sent a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, watch this here, according to the good hand of my God upon me. One of the marks of one who has the authority of God, he has the hand of God upon him. Take everything I got, just don't take God's hand off of me. It is the mark of guidance. It is the mark of counsel. It is that which will keep you from going down dead end streets. It will be that will keep you from getting degrees in things you cannot market. It'll keep you from marrying people, and down the road you'll say, I wish I'd never saw them before this day. It will keep you in line, that hand of God. I believe that hand is closely connected with making prayer a priority in your life. Matter of fact, I believe if you don't make prayer a priority in your life, that hand ain't nowhere near you. That hand of God. Now, watch this now. That hand of God in the Old Testament seems to be somewhat hard to understand because God is spirit. God don't have no hand. Throughout all the Old Testament, we've always, and Jesus himself said, God's spirit. You don't have any hands. So what is this hand deal? This hand presence in the Old Testament is nothing more than the Jesus of the New Testament. To have the hand of God upon you is to have Jesus upon you. And I believe many people in Baptist churches got Jesus in them, but they ain't got no Jesus on them. making stupid mistakes, going down stupid roads, and making all kind of excuses for having done it, and it's nothing more than the hand of God is not upon your life. And I believe it's closely connected with making prayer a priority in your life. As we begin to unpack this text tonight, what is it to pray for the authority of God, to have that hand upon you? What would be involved? I notice if you've got the Bible there tonight in chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, I notice that it would first of all involve the groanings for this authority. He says in chapter 2 and verse number 2, the king asked him, he says, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. He says in the text that he is sad in verse number 3. Both of these words have the idea of a broken heart, a burdened heart. I tell you, if you want to have the hand of God upon you, you must allow Him to place His burdens upon you in prayer. And you be willing to carry those burdens for other people. Most of us, somebody asks us to pray about something, you can forget it. They won't remember you 10 minutes. As Aaron told me a couple of years ago when I asked him if he had me on his prayer list, he told me he hadn't thought about me since last year. The true marks of a Baptist. Oh, not Nehemiah. He's got a broken heart. He's got sorrow of heart. He has made prayer a priority in his life. It involves the sorrow of heart. But watch this. Chapter 2 and verse number 4. It involves the speech of the heart. Some of the greatest prayers I have ever prayed, and I have rung heaven's bell, is when I didn't say nothing. Do you see any words to Nehemiah's prayer in verse number 4? Ain't no words to it. He's talking to the king, but his heart is talking to the King of Kings. You say, what in the world's that all about? I never heard such foolishness. You hadn't? If you got just a second, hold your finger right there and run over with me to Romans chapter number 8. Paul himself said the best praying he ever did is when he kept his mouth shut. Huh? I tell you, most Baptists think if they got a lot of words in their prayers, they'll get through. Huh? I wonder if God don't turn you off. You got too many words in your prayers. Huh? Too many words about yourself. Look at Romans chapter number 8 and look at verse number 26. Paul says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray. Gracious, did I read that right? We ain't talking about rednecks from North Carolina and Georgia. We're talking about the fair-haired boy. He wrote over half the New Testament. He said, I don't even know what to pray for. And then he had the audacity, he said, we know not what to pray for or ought to pray. He said, I don't even know how to pray. Lord. Well, Baptists, I know they know how to pray all the time. They can tell you how to pray. They don't ever pray, but they can tell you how to pray. Here's Paul. He said, I'm going to go on record. He said, I don't know what to pray for, and I don't even know how to pray. Well, what in the world do you do, Paul? He said, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which we cannot be uttered. Oh, the psalmist made it clear when he said in Psalms 42, he says, deep within me cries to deep within God. I tell you, if you want the hand of God's authority upon your life to guide you, to counsel you, and to make sure you don't go down dead-end streets, end up in situations you don't have any business being in, You must get a broken heart of groaning out to God for that authority. You will not be walking along and trip up one day and say, man, I think I got the hand of God on me and I don't know how it happened. If you ever get the hand of God on you, you'll know how it happened. Are you listening to me tonight? I was thinking about the old preacher of yesterday. His name was Praying Hyde. They say old Praying Hyde literally prayed himself to death. They said that he had old knotted knees, big old lumps on his knees, because he stayed on his knees so much. They said even his knees had made impressions in the floor, in both his study and in his bedroom. He had prayed so much. They said a young preacher stopped by one day, said he had heard about Praying Hyde, said he could really make contact with God. And he was interested that maybe Praying Hyde would teach him how to pray. He knocked on the door. His wife came to the door and he told her of his intentions. She said, I don't know if he'd speak to you or not. She said he stays in that study usually 6 to 8 hours the first part of the day. She said he's in there now and he doesn't like to be disturbed. And he says, I promise you, if you'll just let me slip in there, I just want to listen to him for a little while. Maybe I can learn his technique. Maybe I can get an idea about how he does it. And she said, well, if you promise you'll not disturb him, I'll let you slip in there. Well, he slipped in there, and when he opened the door, the light went in there. He noticed that it was totally dark in there. You could not see anything in there. He slipped in there, slipped the door shut. He could see some kind of figure laying over in the corner on the floor. And so he sat down. Man, he was all ready. Man, I'm going to learn how to pray from the expert. He had been sitting there for about an hour when he heard, oh, God! He sat there for another hour. Here come that screaming groan again. After about 3 hours, he had only heard him scream or groan out, oh God, 4 or 5 times. That's all he ever heard about prayer. Oh, the old man could touch heaven so quickly without ever uttering a word out of his mouth. Oh, that God would put his hands upon us and we would begin to pray from here instead of here. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about not only the sorrow of heart, but the speech of heart. Notice not only the groanings for this heart, this authority, but notice the goodness from this authority. Preacher, how would I know if I had the hand of God upon me or not? Let's see how Nehemiah knew that he had the hand of God upon him. Chapter 2 and verse number 6. I noticed that it would involve the providence of goodness. The providence of goodness. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shalt thou journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me and set them a time. The providence of goodness. God has turned this king's heart towards Nehemiah in allowing him to go back and build the walls. You say, what's the big deal about that? You and I can better understand this passage of Scripture tonight. It would be like a sword-wielding ISIS telling a Jew, I'll supply all your needs for a year while you go down there and help Jerusalem. You say that ain't gonna happen.
come. Crazy man made prayer a priority. You listening to me? We think, man, we get us some more bombs, we can get them down. It ain't working. Are you listening to me tonight? You know, they tell me that God's determination and man's will conflicts. And often God can't get done what He wants to get done providentially because man's will is in the way. Are you listening to me tonight? If God's providence of determination ever crosses man's will, I tell you which one's gonna bow. Huh? You got kids tonight, grandchildren that have never, ever bowed to God. You probably ought to quit talking to them and go to talking to Him. Because if He ever crosses them, they getting down. Huh? You say, can you prove that from the Bible? I wouldn't have brought it up if I couldn't prove it. Huh? You remember those Israelites when they was down there in Egypt and God told them, said, I'm going to get y'all out of here. But the day before you get out of here, He said, you go to every Egyptian. That's some more of them Ishmaelites. That's some more of them ISIS people. He said, just go to every door and knock on every door and ask them for all their silver and all their gold and all their jewelry. At every door they went to, oh yeah, let me go get my jewelry box. Sure, I'll give it to you. Can you imagine an Arab, a loading up of Jews, a sack with all the silver and gold? I tell you what's happened. God's determination has crossed man's will, and it has bowed. I love the hound out of that. That's one for you. Huh? Talking about the do you see God's hand upon you tonight? And you see constantly, old Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, God's people should never be shocked because God's good to them. You should be expecting God to be good to you. God can be nothing else but good to His people. Especially those who make prayer a priority in their life. Not only is there the providence of goodness, but I see in chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8, there is the provision of goodness. This king is going to supply everything that is needed. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. Letter was sent to Asaph. He give the lumber, everything. This king, this Arab, this Ishmaelite king, he is supplying everything that is needed for this Jew to go back and build a wall around the home city. I'm telling you tonight, that to me is unbelievable. No wonder Paul said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. We have not because we ask not. Oh, God will give to us the provisions and the providence of God. I wonder tonight if you could say tonight, every time you look back, you just see goodness and mercy leaping at your heels, constantly behind you. It only happens to those who make prayer a priority in their life. But not only I see the groanings for this authority, I see the goodness from this authority, but I see the guidance by this authority. I notice in chapter number 2, verses 12 and verse 16, Nehemiah goes down and makes a survey trip. He wants to see just how bad it is. And once he's down there, he finds out it is really bad. And while he's down there on a survey trip, the Bible says in verse number 12, and I arose in the night, I and some few men, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. I notice that this guidance tonight would involve the heart of secrecy. How can I know if God's hand is upon me? You will know it if God continually makes impressions upon your heart. And when you obey those impressions you just look around and say, wow, man, I didn't know that was going to happen when I obeyed that impression. God impresses you to go here. God impresses you to turn here. God impresses you to go this way. And when you do it, He blesses it. He pours out Himself upon it. Nehemiah said, I didn't even tell these men what God had put upon my heart. Oh, for the one tonight who is walking with God. Paul tells us in Romans chapter number 8. Let's just for a second. I want you to see that portion of Scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 because it's a very debatable portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because if the hand of God is upon you, God will let you know some things He won't let other people know. Huh? I hear people all the time say, oh, bless God, I don't believe that. It may be because God's never let you see it. Huh? It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just may have never showed it to you. Here in the Scriptures, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, he says in verse number 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I was always taught this, talking about heaven. Oh, there's a place in the sweet by and by where I have not seen, ear hath not heard. It's only going to be revealed to God's people. Once you read the next verse, you'll know that's not true. That interpretation is not true. He says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So what does God reveal to us? Things that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. God will show you. God will make impressions upon your heart. He will show you the preparations of the day of what He's got planned for your life, and He'll dictate you to go in the direction so you can get under His blessings. You must make prayer a priority in your life. There is the heart of secrecy. But I notice in our text back in Nehemiah chapter number 2, I notice not only would it involve the heart of secrecy, but I notice that it would involve the hope of secrecy. He says in verse 13 of chapter 2, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down. The gates thereof were consumed with fire. Everything is a dust heap. Everything is rubble. Look at verse 16. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. I thought it was interesting. Here in verse number 13, he's down by the dragon well. He's down by the dung port. The Bible says this is close in verse 14 to the gate of the fountain at the king's pool. This is very close to where they brought that man in Acts that Peter and John prayed for there at the Solomon's gate, at Solomon's pool. And there God brought beauty out of ashes. Some of us tonight have got loved ones, and as you look at their lives, it's just a heap of ashes. Their lives are ruined. But oh, as we make prayer a priority, God could raise up beauty out of that. Oh, this nation tonight is gone. We've kicked God out of the school system. We've kicked the Bible out of the school system. We've kicked God out of the football field. We've kicked Him out of everywhere. I wish God would raise up some young people that would take a Bible to school, lay it on the corner of the desk, and pray out loud at lunchtime. Double D dare them to arrest you. And if they do arrest you, go with your head hung up high. Right. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, tonight, if we do not make prayer a priority tonight and shake the very foundations of this world, God is never going to raise up out of this ash heap some beauty once again. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, here He's making prayer a priority. I close with this thought. There is not only the groanings for this authority. I was wondering tonight, do you have any desire at all to have the hand of God upon you? Huh? The hand of His authority tonight. Have Him to guide you. I tell you what, He'll never lead you down a road and you have to say, oops. He'll never lead you down a road and you'll say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have never gone down that road. That's the wrong road. He doesn't lead like that. His hand's upon you. That guidance, that counsel, that consoling. There is the goodness from this authority. There is the guidance by this authority. But I notice last of all, there is the glory. The glory unto this authority. What in the world does He want for putting His hand on me? He'd like for you to give Him glory. He loves glory tonight. Look at it if you've got it. The text there, chapter 2 and verse number 8. He says, the only reason this king did this for me is because the latter part of verse number 8, did you see it? It's because I had turned over a new leaf and I was a good boy. No. He said, I have enjoyed the providence of God because I got God's hand upon me. What is He giving glory to? He's giving glory to the hand. What is the hand? The hand in the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. He's giving glory to it. I'm talking about the target of our glory. But I notice there is the treasure of this glory. He says in chapter 2 and verse number 18, then I told them of the hand of my God. He's out there with these guys. He's surveying this the rubbles. And I'm sure these old boys that are with him say, oh, Nehemiah, you as well go on back to Babylon. If you want to do that cupbearer and stuff, you as well go. Ain't nobody can build these walls. They're sitting out there by the campfire. He tells them boys, he said, boys, let me tell you about this hand I got on me. He said, I got a hand on me. And he said, this hand on me. He said, man, I tell you, I just do impossible things. You just can't believe what happens when this hand's on me. And he begins to tell him, he said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. And also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and we'll try to build it. Maybe we can get it built. I don't know. Maybe we'll try. No, they said, we're going to get it done. All of this come by a lowly cupbearer who just simply turned his heart in wordless prayer. Oh, he couldn't pray. He wasn't one of them, oh, the great God that's set upon the realms of the universe. Oh, no. He couldn't do all that stuff. No, he didn't have no ability. He couldn't handle words at all. He just groaned. Oh, God, that's all he could do. God heard those groans, answered them. All of this happened because of one, the presence of an earthly king. We're in the presence of earthly people. We're in the presence of earthly leaders. Let us make our petitions known to an eternal king. I was wondering tonight, I was thinking again today, what is this hand like? The old Southern gospel lady wrote this song. She sort of described this hand. He is the fountain for a thirsty soul. He is the healer and so much more. When my heart is broken by the world's demands, the pieces are mended with one scarred hand. It's the hand that hung the old world in place. Oh, a hand that was scarred just to give me some grace. And to think a hand that holds the stars in space is small enough to mend my broken heart.
And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, I must believe. The great physician's touch is a balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand. You say, preacher, how in this world can I get that hand activated in my own life? I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever lives and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver and make for me my troubles quickly an end. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over this world of victory to win. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Oh, that hand in the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. I asked you once again tonight, is prayer a priority in your life? If prayer is not a priority in your life, you may have Jesus in you, but you do not have Jesus on you tonight. He is not guiding you. He is not directing you. He has left you. I was thinking about these kids down at the corn maze. He has left you in a corn maze. But I'm going to tell you something. The corn maze He's made is much, much more difficult to get through than what they would have to go through. And without His hand, you'll never get to the other side safely and securely. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about a prayer for the authority of God.